Lift up your hands, church, and thank the Lord this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever sickness, there's a power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every bondage. We have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to bind every darkness, every sickness, every demonic position, everything that is breaking us. We have the power in Jesus' name. And this morning I declare, Lord, set your people free. Set your people free that they will worship you. Set your people free that they will glorify your name. Set your people free, Lord, that they will be delivered this morning in the name of Jesus. I come against every power, every distress, every hallelujah discouragement, every sickness. I come against every attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I come against every closed doors. Every closed doors. I ask you, Lord, that you open it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the power in the name of Jesus this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your Father anointing that is in this place this morning. I ask you to release it upon your people. Speak through us your word. Bless the ones, Lord, who have given in to sow the seed into your kingdom. I pray that you bless us all. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please take your seat this morning and shake your neighbor's hand and say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Tell them it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning we don't have much time, so let me get right into the word, because we have a time that we have to leave this place. So I don't want to give too much of introduction, but you remember that a few weeks ago we started on a series called Live Joyfully, a bold commitment to a joyful life. Our text is from the book of the Philippians. We took from the Epistle of Philippians. And when you read the Epistle of Philippians, you will not ever guess where the author was when he was writing this book. He was incarcerated. He was in a Roman prison, waiting for execution from Emperor Nero. But if you read through this beautiful epistle, the Bible scholars say it's a treatise of joy. It is full of joy. So you remember the first session I spoke from Philippians chapter 1. We read from verses 3 to verse number 11, where Apostle Paul was describing what is meant to pray joyfully. When we pray, let it be out of joy and gladness in our heart. What is meant to pray? And last Sunday, we jumped into the Old Testament and I took the example of Hannah from the Old Testament, of how she prayed to the source of joy. And finally, she recognized that her joy was not a son that she would get, but her joy was in the Lord. We are going to continue on in the book of Philippians. So I want you to open to the book of Philippians. We are going to continue the next portion. And today, after Apostle Paul spoke about how to pray joyfully, he also, this time, he's going to speak about how to share joyfully the gospel. How can you share the gospel joyfully? In the midst of distress and problems, how you can share gospelly. So the context is, Apostle Paul is in a Roman prison. He is not able to move anywhere to share the gospel. But then as he thinks about his time that he's been restricted within the prison cell, he's making a few observations that I want to bring before you. And through it we can understand how he speaks about sharing the Lord joyfully. You know, none of us are in a prison today. We all are free to go places. But even from a prison cell, the Apostle Paul says that it is truly a joy, because the gospel has been furthered, has been spread, even though I'm in the prison. So let's take it from there. Look to your Bible. Philippians chapter 1. We are going to read from verses 12. And I'm going to stop at verse number 21. Verses 12 to verse number 21. Please follow with me in your Bibles. And Apostle Paul is saying like this, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from a selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. In this I rejoice, and yet, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Not too long ago, this country mourned the death of one of the greatest boxing champions who ever lived. His name was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was known not only for his skills as a boxer, but he was a man who would boast, who would speak big things. And in fact, he would actually make his opponent small by boasting. He created a song for himself, and he would proudly announce that I'm the greatest. Ali is the greatest, and he would say. And then as a result, people either loved him or hated him. And so it was found out later that whatever he was speaking, it was an act that he was putting out. It was not for real. He was an acting. Because when he was young, he received an advice from another wrestler called George Warner. And this is what he learned from that wrestler. A lot of people will pay to see someone shut your mouth. So keep on bragging, keep on sassing, and always be outrageous. This is what the advice he got when he was young. So he would boast, and so people would come just to see an opponent box him and put him down. They wanted to come and see. And so there was a lot of people who would come for his boxing matches. This was his obnoxious behavior. But this behavior gave him a great deal of publicity in his boxing matches. But unlike Muhammad Ali, Apostle Paul did not arouse controversy by drawing attention to himself. You know, but the controversy about him, it worked out for his favor. Because if you turn to the book of Acts chapter 28, we see what really happened in his life. As he was making his way through towards Rome, people came to know that he's coming. His reputation went before him. And so many people came to greet him. We read in Acts 28 verses 13 to 15. People came out to greet Apostle Paul. When he arrived in Rome, he met with the leaders of the local synagogue. They wanted to know more about the gospel. We read that in Acts 28 verses 21 and 22. And while he was staying in Rome, his reputation went all over the place. So many people came to visit him while he was in the cell. And that we read in Acts 28 verses 30 and 31. Now any other person would have complained and moaned and cried out to God and said, Lord, I did all this for you. Why you are allowing me to be in the confined
of a Roman prison, but Paul was not like that. Instead of complaining about the unfairness of the Roman judicial system, Apostle Paul took advantage of his situation and he started sharing Jesus joyfully to the people who would come and see him. And so this story of Apostle Paul teaches us about sharing Jesus or sharing the gospel joyfully, no matter where God has placed you. I want to give you three aspects of how you can share Jesus Christ joyfully in your situation where God has placed you. Number one, you need to share Jesus in spite of your difficult circumstances. You need to be willing to share him in spite of the fact that it is difficult for you to do that. When you see from verses 12 to verse number 14, we see that Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison. He was arrested in Jerusalem for false charges. He was imprisoned for 2 years in Caesarea because of a governor who was corrupt. And now he is awaiting trial by the Emperor Nero of Rome. By Caesar Nero, he was awaiting for the trial in Rome. And Apostle Paul knew one thing, that life is not always fair. Never expect your life to treat you fairly. I am telling that is a matter of fact. Because Paul was accused of crimes that he did not commit. And he was under arrest and waiting for the date for Caesar to say the judgment upon him. But what I want to tell you this morning, and this is a profound something you may have never heard before. God used his servant and his prison time for the furtherance of the gospel. Because even though Apostle Paul was in a prison, the gospel continued to spread rapidly in all of the kingdom. Many people heard the gospel who would never have heard it at any time. Apostle Paul had an opportunity to be a witness before the many high-ranking soldiers in the Roman army who were in close vicinity to him. In his wisdom and sovereignty, God designed Apostle Paul's current circumstances for the benefit of the gospel. In fact, even though he was imprisoned in a Roman prison, it did not hinder his ministry of intercession, his ministry of evangelism, his ministry of writing. His time in the prison allowed him to advance the gospel beyond compare, and I will tell you that. In fact, the gospel spread in 4 specific ways that would never have happened if Apostle Paul was not in the prison. Number one, the palace guards and the royal house of Caesar heard the gospel as Apostle Paul boldly preached from his prison cell. They heard the gospel. Who heard the gospel? The palace guard and the royal house of Caesar. Under normal circumstances, they would never have heard the gospel. Number two, the rest of Rome heard the gospel through the people who visited Apostle Paul in prison. Many people came to see him. And when Paul shared the gospel, many people in Rome heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of these people were the leaders of the Jews in Rome. Under normal circumstances, they would never have heard the gospel. The third I would say is that because of Apostle Paul, the Christians in Rome were more encouraged and more fearless to testify about Jesus. They became more bold to testify about Jesus because Apostle Paul was in the prison. It transformed some quiet believers, some underground believers, to come out of the shell and started proclaiming about Jesus and be courageous in Rome itself. In fact, the whole church was stirred to spread the good news through Apostle Paul more than he would have done if he was out of jail. There was more people who were spreading the gospel because of Apostle Paul being in the prison. And even though they knew that they would also be in the prison, they were bold because that was contagious. The faith was contagious. They got the faith in God's word to spread it, and they were not afraid. They said, if Apostle Paul can do it, we can also do it. We are ready to die. If Apostle Paul is ready to die, we are also ready to die for the Lord. They had the boldness to proclaim the gospel about Jesus. But the fourth and the final one, which I want to bring to your attention today, which you may have never thought about. While he was in the prison, God kind of arrested Apostle Paul to sit and start writing these epistles to the different churches. The epistle that he started writing, beautiful epistles under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that was such a blessing to the churches at his time, but even today, it's a blessing for us as well. We are being blessed because Apostle Paul went into the prison for the sake of the gospel today. Hallelujah. In those days, there was no Facebook. There was no videography. He would have preached to a small audience. He would have gone somewhere. But because he recorded his thoughts into the form of a letter, today we have the word of God in our hand that we are reading because of Paul being in the prison cell. And it happened for the furtherance of the gospel. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if God has put you somewhere where it is difficult to share the gospel, that is where you should decide, I am going to do it in spite of my difficult circumstances. Number two, I want to say that we need to share Christ in spite of our diverse concerns. When you read from verses 15 to 18, Apostle Paul noted that some people were preaching out of impure motives. Their motives were not good. In fact, the Judaizers were preaching a false gospel. Apostle Paul did not tolerate that. In fact, when we go to the third chapter, verses 17 to 19, he speaks about them as the enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul said that they were preaching Christ out of envy and strife. They may be preaching to exalt themselves at the expense of Apostle Paul. Maybe they were preaching to put Paul into greater trouble. We don't know. Regardless of what the motives were, Apostle Paul had a reason to rejoice. Look at verse number 18. He says that he was not worried about his own reputation. He said, even if they do, I don't have to worry about it, but I'm rejoicing that Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice that by hook or by crook, Christ is being preached by the people. And I'm rejoicing. So I want to tell you that when you look around and you may see faults of other people, don't let it put you down. Don't let it put you down and say, hey, I'm not going to speak because there was one pastor who went wayward or somebody is not doing right. Don't point your finger at anybody and not do what God is asking you to do. In spite of it, God does great work and he will do and he will use you if you are able to do that. The third point I want to make is that in spite of your doubts, we need to share the Christ joyfully in spite of the doubts that we have. If you look to verse number 19 onwards, Apostle Paul actually thought that he is going to be delivered from the Roman prison. And he said, you know what, brothers, because of your prayer, I know that this will turn out to be deliverance. I'm going to be delivered. Do you know what actually happened? Do you know the reality of what happened? He was not delivered from the prison. In fact, the Caesar Nero sent him and he had him become a martyr. He was killed a little longer after that. But Paul was hoping that the people would pray for him. But it was not God's plan to bring him out of the prison. allow him to do his fourth missionary journey. God did not allow. He was killed. But if you look at him, he was actually hoping, because he says, you know what, please pray, because whatever I'm seeing, I'm looking at a light in a dark tunnel. I know that, you know, Festus, he was not very impressed. The Jews were not been informed of anything. They would help me. And he knew that God is in control. He said, you know, that I will not be put into shame. In verse number 20, he says, I shall not be ashamed. And he was convinced that he will stand on trial before Caesar, and Caesar will let him go, and he will be a free man. But then when we come to verse number 20 towards the end, he said, even though whatever happens, even though I am not going to leave after that, I am going to magnify Jesus through my body, whether by my life or through my death, Jesus will be magnified. Praise God. Can you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? What a wonderful, wonderful conclusion that Apostle Paul came. And then he says in verse number 21, I want you to underline this word, please. Every one of you in your Bible. This is what Paul says: for me to live is Christ. Nan jeevikkunnathu Christu. To me to live is Christ, but to die is gain for me. We are in a winning situation. Both sides. There is nothing to lose. We are winning on both sides. If I live, I live with Christ. But I'm dying. I'm going to die in gain, because I'll be with Jesus. For me to live is to live for Jesus. If I die, I'll be with Jesus. What better way for me to finish my life? I want to close here, and I want to tell you, we are living in a fallen world. Life is not always going to be fair. Young people, I want you to give you an advice here. Life is never going to be fair for you. You will have troubles here on your life. But we need to be faithful and rejoicing and joyful in the midst of trouble. Because God can lead us to further the gospel through us. No matter where God has placed you, whatever is your circumstances, maybe you feel lonely in your dorm room, in your apartment complex, in wherever you are, you're feeling lonely and saying, Lord, nobody's there. Don't be upset, because God is there with you, and He has taken you to that place to further His gospel. Remember that. You are not there by an accident. If you are in a college and you are studying in a school and you are alone there, remember, God has taken you to further the gospel. And you need to pray and ask God, Lord, take me to where you want me to be. And lead me, Father. That again, I'm telling the song that was sung this morning. Use me, Lord, whichever way you want me to. I am just an instrument in your hands. Use me to advance the gospel. Because we need to be a witness for to Christ. And this is what I want to close here. We need to share Christ to other people, no matter whatever happens. Can we just close our eyes as we look to the Lord this morning in prayer? You know, the Lord is a good God. He brought you from India and other places, from the Gulf, not just to get a job and pay your car mortgage and pay your house mortgage and pay your bills and live luxuriously. You know the real reason why God brought you here? That the gospel will be spread through you. That God will use you in the places that you want be to be. I want you to just close your eyes and think about your situation wherever you are. I want you to say, Lord, you gave me this gospel freely. Without me spending a dime, you gave me this free gospel. And this is what the Lord says, freely I give to you. Freely you have received. Go in my name and preach the gospel to everybody. Can we just stand up on our feet as we're going to sing the song? Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Today the Holy Spirit is telling you, you received a priceless gospel for free. But it is not cheap. This salvation, this gospel, even though it is free for you, it is not cheap. Because Jesus had to pay the price through his life and through his own blood. This is not cheap. But the Lord says, freely I have given it. Go and give it out freely. Go in my name. That is what the Lord says.
want from our life. Can we all just